Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Petrol. Or electric. Petrol. Or electric. Why choose? Petrol and electric. Discover the BMW plug-in hybrid range. Visit your BMW retailer or find out more at bmw.ie. Sometimes electric, always BMW.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Talking Plex, Planet F1's very own podcast.
Well, not much has happened in the last week, to be honest, so we thought today we'd just go through all the preparations that the teams and the drivers are taking for the start of the season, which, thank God, isn't too far away. Michelle, it was nice to see a Formula One car back on track, wasn't it?
It was. It may have been a two-year-old car, but at least it was a good sign of what's to come. And let's be honest, that W09 is a beautiful car. So if you're going to see a car come onto the track for the first time in, three and a half months, what a car to have. And also, of course, everything that it means. Formula One is coming back.
Yeah, it really made it feel real, I think, just hearing the sound of the car and seeing it. And yeah, cause, you know, when you see a calendar, it's nice, but it still feels a bit surreal. So, yeah, it was good. I mean, obviously, the main talk about it is the fact that part of their preparations for the season, which is less than a month away now. And yeah, I mean, let's just go through that first, go through the teams that will probably be testing their old cars and, you know, what the benefits are and stuff. But the first thing I noticed was actually the nature of the staff when releasing the car. And yeah, there was social distancing aplenty, wasn't there? It's a new sight for Formula One.
It is. It's very much a new sight. I mean, Mercedes showed off the fire up the day before on social media. And it was quite interesting to see, because normally when they have a fire up, there's like 2 million people in the room. They're all crowded around the back of the car. There's so much excitement. And with this, you barely had anyone in the room, and the blokes were doing their best not to touch each other. So it's a little weird seeing Formula One being so distant. Unfortunately, of course, as we're all well aware, the amount of social distancing you can actually get in a garage, it's pretty slim, but the teams are doing what they can. Face masks, it's strange. We're used to seeing the mechanics and stuff in helmets, and now as soon as that helmet comes off, a face mask goes on, and it's just, wow, we're living in a different world. But here's hoping that all the teams take the precautions, the kind that Mercedes displayed, and that we get back to racing safely and that everyone's okay.
Yeah, definitely. And it's obviously the measures of, you know, social distancing by reducing the number of staff taken to races. It was mentioned in the statement that was released when they announced that Formula One was coming back in that shape. But yeah, seeing it, you know, with for real for the first time does really it does really hit you that it's the sport's really going to be fundamentally different for quite a while. I don't know, do you think teams are going to struggle with the reduced numbers? Do you think it's going to cause some issues in how they run?
You know, I think it's going to take a little bit of getting used to, as it does if ever a company loses staff members. But it is also good preparation, as horrible as it is, for 2021 and 22 and 23 when the budget caps come into effect. And unfortunately, quite a few of the teams are actually going to have to reduce their staff members. McLaren has already announced redundancies in preparation for, well, not only what's going on now, but in preparation for that cap. So teams are going to have to get used to a more streamlined operation. So in some ways, this is forcing their hand. They don't have an option. They can't work their way into it. They've been told numbers are limited, and that's it. Get used to it.
Yeah, it's a good point. It really is. I mean, whether it'll be to this extent or not is another matter. But the fact is, the staff numbers are going to reduce significantly with it. And yeah, it is good preparation. And I think, I don't know, if everything runs fine, then there's, you know, you wonder why they were so busy in the first place, these garages, you know, whether it was overkill. But yeah, I guess we'll see how it goes. And personally, I wouldn't complain too much if all these reduced staff numbers caused Mercedes to seriously falter in their pit lanes. Could cause some excitement at least. But like we said, it was part of a test that they're doing with the 2-year-old car, because the regulations don't allow them to use this year's. And yeah, they're the first ones to get out on track, which isn't a surprise, really. Ferrari looks set to follow. How important do you think that these kind of tests are for the team, as preparation?
You know, the fact that it's a 2-year-old car says to me, well, I mean, it's clear they're not developing the car in any way. But it's a good way for the driver to get his eye in. It's a good way for the mechanics to get used to the pit stops. I mean, you can practice these things in the factory all you want as someone slowly pushes a car towards you. But at the end of the day, it's the on-track action that actually gets you sharp. So I think for the teams, it's very important. However, in the case of a team like McLaren, where Lando Norris was running a Carlin F3 car, you know, I think it's as long as they're on track, as long as the procedures are going the same and that sort of thing, that it will be beneficial to the drivers just literally to be out on track. Of course, being able to do it in a Formula One car and with your own team around you and your mechanics that you can practice the pit stops and stuff is an advantage. So any team not getting to do that, I think is gonna struggle on Friday in Austria.
Yeah, I think the main thing has got to be in terms of the drivers, hasn't it? In terms of benefits or losing those benefits. Because, you know, there's been a lot of talk about them being rusty because, you know, it's been the longest period for a while that the grid hasn't driven their cars, much longer than the winter break we usually get. So I think that's probably the biggest thing. And obviously McLaren don't have that, as Renault have refused to supply them with a power unit. You shouldn't be surprised, I guess. Renault don't generally have the best kind of relations with the teams that they supply. But yeah, what are your thoughts on it?
You know, when we all first got the McLaren story, and they were saying that they wouldn't be testing due to a powertrain switch, well, due to powertrain switches, we kind of all did the maths in our head and kind of went, well, that's a bit strange, because the 2018 car was powered by Renault. If it was a case of like Red Bull, for example, their 2018 car was also powered by Renault. They're now on Honda engines. So we can understand why Red Bull aren't testing their two-year-old car. But for McLaren, it was a little weird one. And now it's actually subsequently come out. And again, this is reportedly, there's been no confirmation from the team or no denial from Renault, should we say. But it looks like the team actually said no to giving McLaren an extra engine because McLaren is switching to Mercedes next season. A little bit of sour grapes in play for the team that beat them in the championship last season.
Yeah, I guess maybe, you know, the fact that McLaren are taking Renault's favourite driver, well, not favourite driver, but star driver, I guess, and Ricciardo may have factored as well. I mean, you know, everyone who's seen Drive to Survive season one will know how kind of petty and bitter Renault can get. I mean, it's Formula One. Most people can get petty and bitter like that. But yeah, I guess McLaren, they see that in a... Yeah, it just makes them more excited to get to those Mercedes engines, I suppose. But yeah, I mean, obviously we've got Mercedes and Ferrari set to go out on track. McLaren can't, like you mentioned with Red Bull. I mean, that's questionable because of the fact they had a different engine. So do you expect most of the teams to end up getting out on track in their old cars before the season gets underway?
I don't know. I think, unfortunately, for a lot of the teams right now, it also depends on money. For a team from Williams, I really don't expect them to be out on track in their Formula One car. Red Bull might, it has been suggested, maybe put a Toro Rosso on the track, because that is the 2018 Honda engine, and let all their drivers run those. But at this moment in time, there's been no confirmation from the team. We literally have Mercedes and Ferrari who have said that they will come out and do it. We don't know if Renault will be doing it. Racing Point, although Racing Point at least have the money to do it if they want to. But yeah, at this moment in time, as I said, the teams are not confirming or denying, but I'm sure every driver wants a run. George Russell has said he'd take a run in just about anything at the moment, as long as he gets some track time before the season.
Yeah, let's just move on to that. I mean, we've, like we said, it's been a long time since they've driven Formula One cars. Nico Rosberg, he came out and he said that he thinks the drivers who have been in the virtual racing, they'll have an advantage in terms of, you know, preparation. And yeah, I mean, it took me by surprise because... You wouldn't think you can compare it, maybe in terms of, you know, racing lines and stuff like that, but not the physical aspect, at least. Yeah, what, do you buy it? Do you think that they are going to be better prepared, or do you think everyone's going to be in the same boat?
No, I think everyone's going to be in the same boat. I mean, I can drive a car pretty well out on the road, but in virtual racing, I crash every 5 seconds. So I'd like to think that the two actually have no correlation. But yeah, I think Rosberg's wrong in this one, because while the virtual racing does keep your eye in, and like you said, helps with racing lines and stuff, there's no G-forces on your neck. There's not that feeling of speed. I would even go as far as to say there's not that sense of anticipation. I think that's going to be the biggest problem come the first weekend of Austria. So yeah, I don't see the sim races having a massive advantage. I mean, the sim cars, you can play with the tire wears and... For example, the Monaco Grand Prix in the virtual world where there was no crash damage. I really hope that doesn't give them an advantage for the next race, because otherwise we're going to have absolute carnage within the first couple of corners if that's how the drivers have been learning.
Yeah, that would be... Well, let's just hope they don't get any ideas from that race, I guess, because, I mean, for Kevin Magnussen, I guess it's not different to usual, is it? But... For most of them, at least. I agree. I don't think that driving on the game can give you that much of an advantage. I mean, you know, I guess it is maybe a bit like a simulator, but even simulators, I don't think fully prepare you. And I just think in terms of, you know, rustiness, I think it's inevitable, isn't it? You know, I mean, if it's the same with any job in the world, if you go on holiday for a week and you come back, you're going to be a bit, it's going to take you, you know, a couple of days to get back into the swing of things. And that's for a standard job that us mere mortals do, you know, for a job as extreme as Formula One, I think you'd think that would be even more the case. So yeah, I'd be surprised if we don't see considerably more mistakes than usual happening.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think there could be. But at the same time, having said that, I mean, IndyCar returned to the track this past weekend. And I think if I stand to correction, but I believe they did everything in one day. They had an hour and a half of practice, then they had their qualifying session, and then they had their race. And surprisingly, I think they had two, maybe three sort of crashes in the race, which... I would have thought the fact that, like you said, they were rusty, and the IndyCar's drivers were even rustier. I heard somewhere that it's been like over 200 days since last they raced competitively out on track. And yet it actually went all smooth sailing. You know, the cream rises to the top. I think the guys who are going to struggle the most at the Austrian Grand Prix are the guys with the least experience. but your Lewis Hamiltons and Sebastian Vettels and Daniel Ricciardos, they've been racing for so many years, I think they're just going to slip into the car and it's going to be normal for them.
Yeah, I guess in terms of this kind of scenario, it's quite good, and we're quite lucky in a way that this year we only have one rookie on the grid in Nicholas Latifi. I mean, Esteban Ocon knew, but he had a few years in under his belt beforehand. So yeah, I guess that's good in a way. And it'll be interesting as well. I think most of the drivers would be fairly happy that Austria is the first one back. It's the shortest track. It's a pretty easy track to overtake on. And yeah, I think that if they could choose one, they would have probably opted for one like that rather than, you know, going straight to Suzuka or Silverstone or something.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I mean, the Austria is, as far as circuits go, like you say, a pretty simple one. So I think the guys will be happy that they're heading to Austria. And I'm not expecting some major drama with people not understanding the track or the car. As I said, probably first lap, like there normally is, a bit of chaos. I assume there could be a little bit more with that, but that would be more the anticipation of, wow, the game is going. And also the fact that we're going to have potentially a short season. I mean, at the moment, only 8 races are confirmed. There is talk of adding more, but at this moment in time, who knows? So we might have an 8, a 12, a 13 race championship, which means every race counts a lot more than it does in previous years.
Yeah, that's very true. It's in a normal season of 20 odd races, if you crash out in the first one, nobody really sees it as a big deal because, well, you've got 19 other races to make up for it in a lot of time, and yeah, so much more can happen. But yeah, with this case, there's no guarantee, obviously. It could just be 8 races. So in a way, you'd kind of expect drivers to be a bit, I don't know, you've got on one hand they could be a bit more cautious, but because they don't want to make mistakes, but then on the other they need to get as many points as quickly as possible, I guess. So it really shakes things up a bit, doesn't it, this kind of scenario. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. That's everything. Obviously not much has happened in the last week, so we thought we'd just take you through how things are shaping up in terms of preparations for the season. So Michelle, thanks as always for coming on.
Always a pleasure, Finley.
And thanks to everyone else for listening. Obviously, because, well, nothing happened, we didn't stick out a question on Facebook or Twitter this week. But make sure to keep an eye on our Facebook, Planet F1, and our Twitter, Planet_F1. So, you don't miss it when we next do. Hopefully, we'll get a bit more happening again in the next few weeks, closer to the start date, and we can get all your comments back in again. So, thanks again. Stay safe and see you soon. Bye.
At Maynooth University, our postgraduate courses know no bounds, with over 70 full-time and part-time masters in everything from design innovation to data science and analytics. Your opportunities will be unlimited, with small class sizes, access to leading academics, and an immersive educational environment. The virtual postgraduate information roadshow from the 24th of May to the 11th of June. Register now at maynoothuniversity.ie. Maynooth University. Know no bounds.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.